This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to Dig on America, where we speak truth to power. Every week, we give you the dig on how American history, policies, and media created the social and political issues we face today. DOA is independent media supported by listeners, but they'll tell you we're just fake news, deep state propaganda, funded by George Soros, the Clinton Foundation, BLM Marxists, and
Starfleet Captain Jean-Luc Picard, sponsoring the show today. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jason Dutch with Dig on America. Just wanted to quick prelude this show, let you know what's going on. This is the second half of an episode that we recorded with congressional candidate Brent Henrick from Washington State. He's not on this part of it, but if you want to check that interview out, this was recorded the same day back, I believe, like October 14th or 15th. So you can find that in the previous episodes. Now, on this show, we went into the 1982 murder of an Asian man named Vincent Chin, and I recorded it, sent it to Mikey and Haas, so that they could give their thoughts on it. I was not on the show that week, but I am on the show because I recorded that piece and sent it to them. So it's a little bit weird in that text, but this is a really, really great story to learn about if you don't know about it. It's very interesting. A lot of dynamics that we see today, socially speaking. So hope you enjoy that. If you are new to this show, to Dig on America, please find us on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Dig on America or Twitch at twitch.tv/DOA podcast. We live stream at the moment on Wednesday nights, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Central. We'd love to have you join the show and interact with us as we record. And of course, you can subscribe on any podcast app like the one you are listening on right now. If you'd like to donate to the show, you can do so at patreon.com/digonamerica. We will give 1/3 of our income to a charity every month after we reach our goal. So with that being said, hope to see you in the live stream. Enjoy this episode. Or as Jean-Luc would say, engage.
Dig on America.
You're muted, big homie. Now, as I know you're enjoying this extra room we got here. Ooh, to stretch out.
Yeah.
It's nice.
You know, I can reach up like this and not hit anybody pasty.
I heard no like borderline, oh, are we about to lose the channel jokes like the whole time? It's nice. It's been a good thing. Good thing for us. Unfortunately, coming in live from somewhere.
What's up, guys? It's Jason Dutch. I am here.
Oh, you know, I just realized I could pause them whenever I want.
Yes.
But I'm not. So what's going on? Am I here or am I not? It's a mystery. Freaking mystery needing to be solved. But anyway, I am here. I'm actually flying over you guys right now on my way to O'Hare. So hello, Mikey. Hello. I don't know which direction you are. Let's pretend you're this way. Hey, Mikey. Hey, Big Haas. Hi, Brent. Thanks for joining the show. Yeah, so I'll just jump in real quick and do this dig real quick. This dig is a tough one, but on this, also it's going to tie in a little bit to Haas's sort of funny news story. It's just a striking resemblance that his story is fun. This one, not fun. But you should notice, I don't know if you already played it or if you already read that or not, but you will see what I'm talking about. So with that being said, voice a little bit scratchy, but I'll get into this today. And let's rock and roll and get right into today's dig on Vincent Chin. So my eighth grade social studies teacher, Mr. Humble, taught me things that turns out after doing my own research, which MAGA was yelling at me on Twitter yesterday, wasn't exactly the whole story. And this week we will dive into the largely unknown story of the murder of a man named Vincent Chin. So Vincent Chin was born in China's Guangdong province and grew up in Detroit with his adoptive parents. By the summer of 1982, he was 27 years old and working in computer graphics. And his hometown, once known as an automotive manufacturing capital, Detroit, was in decline. Many U.S. auto workers, the lions are still in decline. But anyway, many U.S. auto workers blamed this decline on Japanese car manufacturers. On the evening of June 19th, 1982, I was about eight, with his wedding only days away, Chin went with friends to a strip club in Detroit to celebrate his bachelor party. On the night Chin went out with his friends, 43-year-old Chrysler foreman Ronald Ebens and his 22-year-old stepson Michael Nitz, I believe it's Nitz, N-I-T-Z, who just lost his job at Chrysler, were also at the club. According to testimony, a dispute started between the groups of men over a stripper. She must have been just awesome. A dancer at the club
over holes, man.
Ebens shouting at Chin, "It's because of you motherfuckers that we're out of work," mistaking Chin as Japanese. Now, side note, hint, not because of them, but because of some union issues that they had, but also Japan had universal healthcare, so they could sell the cars cheaper where we didn't. So, don't tell anyone. Now, accounts differ. Again, they mistook Chin as a Japanese gentleman. Accounts differ, but it is alleged that Nitz used racial slurs and that Chin may have pushed or punched him in retaliation of that. Ultimately, the fight escalated, apparently with Chin and his friends winning. So after some time, another altercation began between Nitz and Chin outside. So Ebens, seeing this escalating again, decided to take measures into his own hands, grabbed a baseball bat from his car, and began chasing Chin, who ran away. Now, this is probably where it should have ended. However, Ebens and Nitz then drove around for 20 to 30 minutes looking for Chin, going so far as to find some dude on the streets and give him $20 to help look for Chin. How the hell did they describe him to this guy?
Damn Asian. One of them doggone Japanese. Probably.
He's probably one of the five Asian people in Detroit at right. that time of night. Like, he'd be pretty easy to spot.
That's just amazing. But when they finally found Chin at McDonald's, Nitz held him down while Ebens beat him with that baseball bat.
Pause.
An officer who witnessed the beating said Ebens looked.
God damn.
Yeah.
I never heard about this story. That's. Okay, so these guys are under the jail, though. That's how this ends, I bet, right?
We listen on.
Like he was swinging for a home run as he cracked open Chin's skull. Chin died in the hospital 4 days later. Now, the murder didn't make the national news that summer. Speculatively, since there was a pretty mainstream sentiment at the time that a man in a fight at a strip club may have been deserving some way of such a crime. We never see that anymore. But regardless, the killing deeply affected Chinese Americans and other Asians in Detroit. And according to Curtis Chin, no relation, producer of a 2009 documentary called Vincent Hu, Curtis Chin was 12 at the time of Vincent Chin's murder. And he describes Vincent Chin as a family friend and some of Curtis Chin's family was going to be in Vincent Chin's upcoming wedding party. So this is Curtis Chin's quote. "It only became a big story after the judgment," he says, referring to Ebens and Nitz's trial several months later. "It was a local story before that. And obviously, within the Asian community, it was already a big story. People were very concerned about it, very scared. If it could happen to Vince, it could happen to anyone of Asian descent." So on March 16th, 1983, and this is where shit falls in line with what Haas is going to talk about, or did talk about, Wayne County, Michigan Circuit judge, Charles Kaufman, ruled that the murder was the outcome of no more than a barroom brawl and found Ebens and Nitz guilty of manslaughter. They had originally been charged with second-degree murder. They each received a $3,000 fine, court costs, and 3 years probation. Neither received any prison time. And this is the part that's going to really ruffle feathers.
Do you have an updated guess?
These motherfuckers drove around for 30 minutes.
Yes.
Looking for someone.
Yes.
Found him.
Yes.
Someone held him down.
Correct.
While the other person relieved him of his brain tissue with a bat. A police officer witnessed it.
Correct.
And then the judge said that this was just the outcome of a barroom brawl that ended up 30 minutes later at a McDonald's.
I don't know how you have a barroom brawl at a McDonald's.
It's called complexion for the protection. Oh. It's called white privilege.
These aren't the kind of men you send to jail.
Oh my God.
We're talking here about a man who's held down a responsible job for 17 or 18 years. His son is employed and he's a part-time student. You don't make the punishment fit the crime. You make the punishment fit the criminal. Kin Yi, president of the Detroit Chinese Welfare Council, argued that the sentences amounted to a license to kill for $3,000, provided you have a steady job or are a student and the victim is Chinese. Unlike Chin's murder, Ebens and Nitz's sentences did make the national news, sparking protests across the country. Although there were some instances of Asian American activism before this, Chin's murder marked a turning point for Chinese Americans, Japanese Americans, and other communities who hadn't previously thought of themselves as Asian Americans with common interest, noting that a man was killed because his murderers thought he looked the part. Not only that, his murderers got off on probation. 2 weeks after Ebens and Nitz sentencing, activists in Detroit formed a pan-Asian American civil rights organization called American Citizens for Justice. And they petitioned the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate the murder as a civil rights violation, which it did. 2 years later, Ebens was found to have violated Vincent Chin's civil rights and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. Good, right? Well, there's more. However, Ebens appealed and was cleared, of course, of all charges in 1987. Also in 1987, however, Nitz and Ebens both settled a civil suit in which Nitz, the younger, was ordered to pay $50,000 to the Chin estate, which he did, and Ebens was ordered to pay $1.5 million, which he didn't. It grew to an estimate of over $8 million as it went unpaid and accumulated interest to today. So there is today's dig. Thanks for letting me jump into the show, gentlemen. Look forward to being back on here maybe later this week, but definitely on the 27th. So enjoy talking to Ravana next week and Brent today. Later, Gator.
So you remember Latasha Harlins?
No.
She was killed in a corner store by a Korean lady because the lady thought she was going to steal a bottle of juice. She was going to buy the bottle of juice. The store owner accused her of getting ready to steal it. Mm-hmm. She puts the juice on the desk or whatever, the counter, and is walking away. Like, I'm not going to buy your fucking juice then.
Right.
And the lady shoots in the back of the head and she dies.
She was 15.
And she got probation as well.
Like, I don't even understand how it just sounds so foreign.
Right.
Because maybe it's just because of the culture that we've grown up in.
It doesn't sound foreign to me. I mean, I've seen it time and again.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's like it's a, at some point you have to stop being surprised.
Yeah. You
should almost expect it to go a certain way.
Many people in the Black community, especially, and I can only speak to that because that is where I'm from. I can't speak to the LGBT community and what they might feel when things like this happen. But I know that many in the Black community become numb. They're not right. surprised at all when cops get off or people like Zimmerman get off or people get probation and things like that. I'm going to read what Dutch sent me to read.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. Okay. And it says, an Indiana woman is pleading for a lighter conviction after playing a part as being one of the earliest Trump supporters to enter the Capitol on January 6th. The reason for her pleas are as follows. According to her attorney, and I quote, simply put, if Miss Bissy is incarcerated at the D.C. jail or the BOP, which is as has seen 259 inmate deaths and over 43,000 infections from COVID-19, she is extremely likely to suffer severe illness or even death. According to the CDC, if she were to get sick with the virus, she may require hospitalization, intensive care, a ventilator to help her breathe, or she may die. Certainly, Ms. Bissy has not helped her chances of fighting the virus by remaining unvaccinated. But she also does not deserve to die for her behavior. The court should take her unique vulnerability, liver issues, into consideration. She has remained unvaccinated, she claims, because her doctor in Indiana has not yet advised her to be vaccinated. But wait, there's still more. The attorney continues. Excuse me. I like to do that in honor of my guy. Miss Bissy deserves community service as a sentence because she has suffered collateral consequences, such as being shunned in the street. Shame. Shame. And had to close her business, a hair salon, where you can get the Karen for a discount. Due to a drop in clients and that the pandemic has made rental unaffordable. She also wrote the judge a handwritten letter apologizing for her role in the insurrection and stating that she is a good person, a grandmother, a God-fearing patriot, and a hard worker.
Yeah, my intention, real hard.
My intention was to support President Trump, not to cause trouble. Don't worry, there's still more. In a Facebook post the day after the events of January 6th, Bissy posted to Facebook a photo of herself with the caption, I'm inside the Capitol building, LOL.
Stop.
Another post moments later said, I was one of the first 100 or so to enter. Still picking glass out of my purse. I'll never forget today. We are in the People's Capitol building. Best fucking day ever. Followed by three smiley faces.
I'm glad she was smiling.
Yeah. And then that ties into a story I read today about a federal judge that is taking insurrection cases in his court, and where they're found guilty, he's given more time than the prosecutors are asking. He's saying a message must be sent. And I love this dude. Whoa. He's my new favorite guy.
All right.
You see here how the crimes of non-melanated people are always minimized, and they're always defended by, but I'm a good person and I'm a God-fearing Christian and this or that. Whereas the crimes of the global majority, melanated people, are always seen as a example of their incorrigibility, and an example must be made, and they deserve to, as I've seen in many posts, fry them.
Yep.
I've seen in many posts when the accused is a melanated person, that the public wants the harshest penalties levied. But when the crimes are committed by, or accused to have been committed by, or alleged to be committed by non-melanated people, then, you know, it is minimized to the best of their ability. Like the guy who killed his wife and kids, and in every news story, they kept showing pictures, the family pictures of them all smiling, right, him and his wife and kids that he killed, and not his mugshot, or not the worst possible picture they could find of him.
Right.
Do you see what we talk about when we talk about dichotomy, when we talk about systemic issues? Vincent Chin lost his life, was beaten to death 30 minutes after the barroom brawl.
Like, and everybody walked away. Everybody talked their shit. They threw a couple.
He ran away. He's no longer a threat.
Everybody said, fuck it. You know, yes, y'all killed the whole fucking vibe anyway.
Right.
I'm drunk as shit. Come on,
fuck
man.
Fuck Cinnamon anyway. Fuck Cinnamon anyway. Her titty's fake. You know
Cinnamon,
what I mean?
Cinnamon and all that. Let's go get whatever, a Big Mac and a fucking a milkshake. I'm out of here.
And what fuck does it, the man. Judge say? The judge goes out of his way to glorify a person who beats someone to death with a baseball bat, and goes out of his way to glorify a person who held down someone as he was being beaten to death with a baseball bat. But there's no systemic bias. There's no systemic racism. You melanated folks are being hypersensitive. You're looking for racism. If there was racism, then why do we have black aldermen and black mayors and a black president and LeBron James, wide nose self, breathing up all the white man's air?
LeBron James.
Right. Why do we have these people as if the success of the few somehow erases the oppression of the aggregate on a systemic basis?
So Muddy J popped in the chat. McLaughlin. There you go. McLaughlin, can y'all touch on that? And
I'm not familiar with McLaughlin.
You'll remember as soon as I start reading up. So this is from the Wikipedia for it, if you guys want to look it up. And it says the shooting of Marquise McLaughlin. It says a 28-year-old man at a parking lot in Clearwater, Florida, on July 19, 2018, was widely reported by news media as another instance of Florida's controversial Stand Your Ground law 6 years after the shooting death of Trayvon Martin generated international attention and debate. McLaughlin was shot by douchebag McGillicuddy fuckface, whose name will never be read on our fucking air. No way, buddy. Outside a local convenience store. Shortly before the shooting,
I remember.
Douchebag approached McLaughlin's car and began to verbally confront and point at McLaughlin's girlfriend, Brittany, for parking in a disabled parking space without a placard. McLaughlin came out of the store and shoved douchebag hard to the ground. At this point, douchebag drew his gun and McLaughlin began to back away. 2.5 seconds after douchebag hit the ground, he shot McLaughlin. McLaughlin later died from his injuries at the local hospital. McLaughlin was unarmed at the time he was shot. Mm-hmm. Now it's
he's a big old black dude, so his skin and his size made him a lethal threat.
He's fucking Jason Bourne. So it says here, douchebag, a 47-year-old man, was not initially charged for the killing by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, which Sheriff Bob, Gualtieri, citing Florida's Stand Your Ground law as the reason. This is what set everybody off, is because someone shoved you because you're a weirdo screaming at his fucking girlfriend.
You're attacking my baby. But you're attacking my girl.
So he walked up, pushed him off. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on over here?
Right.
And then homie says, well, now you've touched me, so now I can kill you.
Also, this dude had a history of accosting people in parking lots. So it's almost like he had a recent history of doing that.
He's got an issue.
Upon reading, you know, several store employees' statements saying that this dude had a history of complaining and accosting people in parking lots. Mm-hmm. I almost felt like he was looking for a reason to be able to use his weapon. Because if you got a gun, some people, they don't become more responsible when they have a gun. They want a reason to use it.
So this goes on. I got a couple more sentences here. It says,
Sure.
The investigation was then handed over to the Sixth Judicial Circuit Court of Florida State Attorney Bernie McCabe, who charged Douchebag with one count of manslaughter on August 13, 2018. Douchebag pleaded not guilty to the charge. His trial began on August 19, 2019. And Douchebag was convicted of manslaughter on August 23, 2019, and was sentenced to imprisonment for 20 years in October of 19.
A measure of justice.
So it was doled out, and that he did get his comeuppance because, like, I get stand your ground in theory.
In theory, in your home when somebody comes into your crib.
Correct. But then at the same time, Hosh, you know this better than most people, what the laws are about firing off rounds inside your home. Mm-hmm. If some, like, there's a, it can't just be, I don't know who it is, I can shoot. Yeah. Like, there's a whole list of shit that has to happen in a very specific order, or else you're getting charges on top of that.
Yeah.
Unless there's stand your ground laws, apparently, and then you can just fucking do whatever the fuck you want. Whenever you feel scared, just kill somebody. And then you're in the clear. But
and like Ice Cube, go ahead.
But these cases only come up when it is usually a non-melanated person shooting and killing a melanated person.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's stand your ground. I don't hear about all the stand your ground cases when it comes to white on white crime.
And I'm gonna give you a homework assignment. I'm gonna give our audience a homework assignment, and it's something that they can easily put in chat. Google up the number of times the stand your ground defense has been successful for melanated people versus non-melanated people. In states where there's stand your ground, there's a distinct difference in the success rate of the use of that defense between melanated and non-melanated peoples. So anybody could get that percentage, please put it in chat.
I one more quick thing I want to point out, and this is how you know motherfuckers are not wrapped so tight. I see his mugshot and his eyes are obviously too close together. But also
no symmetry there.
It says while Jacobs was sitting inside the vehicle, which is the girlfriend, Douchebag pulled up in his Toyota 4Runner, also parking illegally. like I get that you're mad at somebody for taking a handicap spot. Your recourse cannot be, I will just park catty corner crazy crooked.
Probably wanted to block her in or some shit.
He was off to the side, but he was like in the middle of the lot, like not even in a spot.
Because for some people,
so
if they see something that they perceive is wrong, whatever they do, no matter how illegal or how wrong, is okay because they're going to be da-da-da-da, Mr. Justice.
My name is Captain America, and that person does not have a placard.
You know?
This is the, I can definitely feel the difference. Again, everybody, thank you so much. So for Big Haas, for Jason Dutch, who's probably eating a fucking sopping wet Italian beef somewhere.
Right.
Big Haas and me and Dutch. Yeah, that's it. We're going home.
We didn't do the Patreon stuff.
Oh, yes. If you guys want to help out the show, please go to patreon.com/digonamerica. Get them pledges in there so we can start. Once we hit our $100 goal, we're going to take a third of that and donate it to a list of charities and have you guys vote on them and start help doing some good with the show.
All right. We're trying to be philanthropists out here.
Man, we're trying to change the world. That's right. But until next week, bye-bye. Have a good night.
Big on America.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Proof the deep state is real in America.
The media said what? Ha, ha, ha.
Patently false fake news.
Your organization's terrible.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Want to have a rousing discussion about truth, honor, patriotism?
The end of the Republic has never looked better.
They be fighting the power, talking about social issues, politics, you know what I'm saying?
Three punches.
I enjoy Big Hoss.
And I'm smoking my cigar, of course.
Am I allowed to talk?
No, not right now.
You crazy Dutch bastard!
Mikey, you're getting a bit upset here.
Mikey, you can edit.
My favorite podcast.
Take names, take ass.
There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble.
Now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
Big on America.
Hey guys, Mike here, a friend from the podcast of Cheebly's Playground. It's a podcast about board games, pasta, and a whole lot of fun. You can find out about sweet new games that are coming out, sweet old games that have been out for a while, and the best favorites. Who knows? Someone might even get a golden hoodie. Matt, tell them where you can find them.
You can find us at Cheebly's Podcast at Twitter and Instagram. And also you can find us on Cheebly'sPlayground.com.
Wow, you guys nailed it.
Good job, good job.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I got an IMDb page, so.
Hey, come back.
Big on America.